You know, I believe that when I grew up, church was not a life-changing experience. Let's say it was a religious experience. And I'm telling you, I looked at my clock the whole time because my parents made me go to church, you know. And I'm telling you, that was the longest hour of my life every week. Because it was religion, it wasn't a relationship. It was just dead religion is all it was. But when I got born again in 1976 as a 16-year-old teenager, I'm telling you, it changed my life. And ever since then, the Word has made such an impact on my life. And that's what I pray that will happen today. Amen. Father, we thank You today for the Word of God. We pray for the Spirit of God to take Your Word and make it real and alive to each and everyone here today. Thank You, Lord, that bondages are just going to fall off of us like chains, just broken off of us today, Father, because of Your presence. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. As you can see up on the screen, we're going to start a new series today called Living by the Word of God. Matthew chapter 4, I'm going to read out of the Amplified translation. Someone said this is the woman's translation because it has more words. But Matthew chapter 4, as you can see up here on the screen, that Jesus was led, guided by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness desert to be tempted, tested, tried by the devil. Now, we'll say this, that the devil or the Lord will not lead you or me into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, because Jesus had to go through this so that He could understand and overcome the devil for you and for I. Amen. So it says that verse 2, that He went without food for 40 days and 40 nights, and later He was hungry. Now notice verse 3, it says that when the tempter came to Him, He said unto him, if you are God's Son, command that these stones be made loaves of bread. It's interesting because over in that part of the country still to this day that, you know, that's a very rocky place. I mean, there's no misunderstanding about how they stone people because there's stones everywhere. You know what I'm saying? But those stones over, there's a lot of stones that actually look like a loaf of bread. And Jesus was in a delirious place in His life, having not eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. Most of us would be one meal, you know. But it says right here, the devil said, if you're really God's Son, command that these stones be made bread, loaves of bread. And then notice verse 4, it says, that He replied, it is written, man shall not live by and be upheld and sustained by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is quoting the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3 right here. Let's go over to Luke and let's look at his account of this in Luke chapter 4 verse 1. Amen. Now, I do encourage you to get a Bible, bring your Bibles, even though we use the scriptures up here on the screen. It's important to have your own Bible with you, mark it, and amen, underline the verses of Scripture and so forth. But notice Luke's account here of this same temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned into Jordan, led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and 40 days being tempted of the devil. In those days He did eat nothing, and when they were ended, He afterward hungered. And the devil said unto Him, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And then once again he says, Jesus answered and said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, the Gospel of Matthew says by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He says here, but we will not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And see, this is what we're going to talk about in the next several weeks is living by the Word of God. So again, Jesus is quoting a scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, that Moses by the Holy Ghost wrote. And evidently, it was strong enough for the devil to leave when he quoted this scripture. Amen? Now, living by the Word is true freedom. Say true freedom. He says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Now stop and think about that for a minute here. If man shall live by every word of God, let's take the reciprocal of that. Man shall die by every word of the devil. Right? But we're not going to focus on that part. We're going to focus on the part that we live by every single word of God. If you would go over to John chapter 8 for a minute here. When we live by the Word of God in our lives, when the Word of God is final authority in our lives, this is the greatest freedom that you and I will ever experience in our lives, is living by the Word. When I got saved, you know, when I was a teenager, and I started got involved in a church much like this and started hearing teaching like this, it revolutionized my life. It set me free. Because I lived a life of bondage up to that point, you know. And I'm telling you, it was just like chains were just falling off of me when I started hearing the truth of God's Word. Now, we see something here in John chapter 8. Jesus said this. In verse 31, it says, Jesus answered those Jews which believed on him and said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. Now, notice that in verse 31, Jesus said, if you continue in my word. See that word continue right there? What's the word continue mean? That means diligence, constantly, right? Not just a little dab here and there. He says, but if you continue in my word, then you're going to be my disciples. And he says, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Now, I used to, just like anybody else, I used to quote the last verse, verse 32, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. That's only part of that right there. Because actually he says, if you continue in my word, that's the key right there. If you continue in my word, then you'll be my disciples or disciplined followers, and then you'll know the truth and the truth shall make you free. See, it's not one thing to just have the word once in a while. It's the act of continuing that creates freedom in our lives. Praise God. See, that's the reason why a lot of times people don't get totally free, because they don't stay in a state of continuing to hear the Word of God. Amen? We have to hear it over and over and over again. It has to be a lifestyle for us, because that's the part that's going to set us free. Now, again, he says, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Do you see that? Well, what is the truth? I'm glad you asked. Go over to John 17 and I'll show you something real here. Because Scripture will complement Scripture here. So we're talking about living by the Word. But notice in John 17:17, this is a prayer that Jesus was praying for you and I, actually. And it says right here, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Notice he says, thy word is truth. So would it be an injustice to say that when you're talking about the word, you're talking about the truth? It's the same thing, isn't it? When Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth shall set you free, Jesus said right here in John 17:17, thy word is truth. You see, if we bombard ourselves with the Word of the living God, and the Word only, okay? We talk about being Word people. We're talking about Word of God people, not just Word people. There's a lot of words you don't want to cling to. Amen? But the Word of God, when we cling to that Word, He says, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And that truth is the Word. Jesus said, thy Word is truth. Hallelujah. Say, the Word is the truth. Amen. Now, there's a difference between facts and truth. Okay, and I know I've said this before, but it bears repetition, that the facts may be that you have a sickness in your body. Okay? That may be a fact, but the truth is, by His stripes, ye were healed. Okay? That's the truth. The fact may be that your bank account's broke, okay? But the truth is, my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen? So when facts contradict truth, you go with the truth always. Okay? You cling to that truth. Amen? See, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. You know, there's different laws that, for example, we have the law of gravity. How many of you, the law of gravity is a blessing? It keeps us in place, right? And that's relegated to the earth, the law of gravity. But you get out there in outer space, it's not the same thing. It's a different law. But in the law of gravity, that law is meant to be a blessing. It's meant to keep things intact in your life. But that law, if it's abused, can also kill a person. Okay? And a person can actually say, you know, I don't believe in the law of gravity. And they could get up on top of this building and walk off the edge. I don't believe in the law of gravity. And all of a sudden, splat. And then we're going to have a funeral service. You know what I'm trying to say? See, the law of gravity is a law whether you believe it or not. It's a law, right? But there's also another law. We got an airport right across the street here with airlines, you know, and there's the law of thrust and lift. And that law doesn't do away with gravity. It overcomes gravity. Isn't that amazing? I love that. My best part is taking off on an airplane. Amen. A couple years ago, we were flying out of here, you know, going somewhere, and this little kid, it must have been his first time flying, he goes, we were going down the right road to Texas. He goes, blast off. He screamed it out. Blast off. I like that, you know. So I've adopted that saying when we take off. Blast off, you know. And it's not that gravity's no longer in existence. It's just that law of thrust and lift overcomes and supersedes the law of gravity. Okay? And there's different laws that are in the earth today, the law of electricity and stuff. There's certain laws. It's meant to be a blessing. But if it's abused, that law of electricity can fry a person. How many even know that? Well, the Bible says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Praise God. Now, in that law, the Spirit of life is the Word of God. The Word of God is the truth in our lives. All right? And so if we're governed by the Word of God, we're governed by the truth. And when we're governed by the truth, it will set us free. You know, I'll be honest with you, I would not waste 1 ounce of my time ministering to you if this stuff didn't work for me. You've heard the saying, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. You know, not that I'm a goose or anything, but, you know, I cannot. One thing they taught us at Bible school is it said, preach the things that are real to you. Don't try to minister on the hypostatic union of Christ and it's just going to confuse people and, you know. But you want to minister on things that are real to you, things that you've walked it out, you've proven it, you've stood the test of time, you've walked through the Word of God, and you've seen it work for yourself. And that gives you a boldness and that gives you a confidence to be able to minister that same Word to other people. Okay? And I can tell you, as a testimony unto God, standing up here, that I've seen the truth work in my life over and over and over and over. I've seen it work in my family, our finances. I've seen it work in our bodies, our physical bodies. I've seen it work in every single realm. And that same truth is no respecter of persons. That same truth is not just there to bless certain people. It will bless you if you apply the truth. Amen? See, you know, it takes diligence, to be honest with you. And as a pastor, you have to say these things sometimes because it's just not, you know, sometimes people will blow in church, and that's fine. They want you to just pray over the anointing that all their problems will disappear. I wish that were the case, but that's not true. Okay? But here's what I have to say. Here's what the Word of God has to say. If you continue in the Word, you keep coming to church. Amen? Don't just come when it's convenient, you know. But you come and you hear the Word of God and you hear the Word of God. And then at home, you put on your teaching tapes, driving in your car, put the Word of God on. And you're continuing in the Word. And as you hear that, it will set you free. Yes. You know what would happen if you only ate about once every 3 weeks? Well, you definitely lose weight. There's no question about that. Probably more than you'd like. But you know, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Someone said it like this: what physical food is to your body, the Word of God is to your spirit. So the Word of God is spirit food. Okay? This Bible that you have on your lap, and these scriptures, it's spiritual food. And that food will nourish you. And when you eat that Word and you put it in your eyes, put it in your ears, it goes down into your spirit, it will actually nourish you. Just like physical food, you have to put food in your mouth for it to nourish you, right? Now, when you eat that food, your job is done. You've put it in your mouth, you've eaten it, and your body's job is to break it down and to send it to the, however that works. God set it up that way so it nourishes your physical being, right? Are you all with me this morning? Okay. But, you know, after you put the food in your mouth, your job's done. You just sit back and enjoy the ride, okay? And that food will nourish your body. Well, the same thing is true with the Word of God. When you put that Word of God in your eyes and in your ears and it drops down into your spirit, it's spiritual food. And that food, which is spiritual, will also manifest in your natural body. Okay? Remember the scripture, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us? Well, the Word of God is spiritual, but it became natural. And when you put, say, let's just say, for example, you have a financial need in your life. Anybody here ever had a financial need? It's only a couple of people here. So, you know, your natural thinking is, I got to get 5 jobs to take care of this now. 4.5 maybe, you know what I mean? But here's the thing. When you put the Word of God concerning finances in your eyes and in your mind and you drop it down in your heart, that is a spiritual seed, but it will manifest itself in the natural. Amen? When you just gave a few minutes ago and you gave to the work of God here, Brother Dave prayed over that, and you gave to the work of God, that is a seed, for example, that you sowed. It's a natural seed, but you sowed it believing God. Now, God will now in turn take that seed and multiply it. Did you ever notice this? Like even in the natural, you know, if you plant any type of, for example, if you take one apple seed, you know, and you plant that at one apple seed, just one seed. Well, in the process of time, that seed is going to take root. It's going to grow. And before you know it, there's going to be hundreds of apples on that tree. Now, you wonder how many seeds are within those apples now. This all started with one seed, okay? Can you see how that just multiplies and multiplies and multiplies? Actually, it can get to the point where that one seed can ultimately, if you sow that seed and it produces apples, you take the seeds out and plant more seeds, you can have thousands of apple trees ultimately based on one seed sown. Now, who do you think created that? The devil? No, God. God set up that system of seed time and harvest. And so whatever, the Bible says, whatsoever a man sows, that also shall he reap. Amen? You know, the book of Proverbs, for example, says that if you want to have friends, you have to show yourself friendly. Now, what does that mean? That means if you want to have friends, show yourself friendly to somebody else. Amen? You see, you can't be mean-spirited to people and act ugly to people and expect to have friends. Are you with me now? Why? Because that's the wrong kind of seed, right? Are you with me? But if you show yourself friendly to people and you show yourself kind to people, you are actually sowing good seed, and that is going to come back to you. You see, it's so easy to just sit back and say, you know, nobody likes me. Nobody cares for me. You know, and have a pity party. Anybody ever done that before? But let me tell you something. We've all been there and done that, you know. But, you know, the only one that shows up to a pity party is the devil. Because he's going to come. He's going to pow up next to you. He's going to sit next to you and say, do you know how hard you have it? Do you know how good those people have it at that church? Look, he'll show you somebody in the church or a few people, and it'll make it look like they have it so good. Okay? But here's the thing. When you sow kindness, you reap kindness. When you sow friendship, you reap friendship. Amen? When you sow a smile to people, you reap back kindness. And I'll tell you, we are living and I'm very, very passionate about this, that we're living in a day and we're living in an age where people are so intense. And you go out in the public eye and you walk around, you see pressure on people. You see pressure on families and things like that, you know? And just looking at somebody and smiling is a way of communicating to them, you're okay. You're accepted. You know, if Jesus looks at you, I wonder what kind of a face he would have, expression on his face. Would he have a frown? And I know that, you know, books and stuff and testimonies that I've heard of people where Jesus actually appeared to different people, you know. What was the most outstanding characteristic about Jesus? Number one always was his eyes. Okay? Do you ever notice in the New Testament it never emphasizes how Jesus looked? You read through the four Gospels, it never says Jesus was a handsome man. Although he probably was. I'm sure he was. It never emphasizes, you know, his hair, his biceps. It just doesn't. It emphasizes his character. Jesus was moved with compassion. You know, it didn't say Jesus had long chocolate brown hair, dark eyes, handsome. No, it doesn't. It doesn't emphasize that. It emphasizes who he is as a person, his character. Okay? And see, the only Jesus that a lot of people will only experience in this earth are the Jesus that lives in you and in me. Amen. That's why I want to get closer to the Father. I want to draw near to him so that his characteristics are now flowing through me. People need that. They need the love of God. You know? Sometimes, you know what? The best thing is you can go up to someone, just put your arm on them and say, you know, it's going to be all right. I'm here for you. I'm standing with you. Glory to God. You don't have to preach a long sermon. You just put your arm around somebody sometime. You say, you know, I just want you to know I'm here with you. That goes a long way, doesn't it? And that's what Jesus does for us. Praise God. So we see that the Word of God is the truth, and the Word is the truth. Truth is the Word. It's the same thing. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 1 for a minute here as we wrap this up this morning here. In Hebrews chapter 1, we're going to see different characteristics. See, we're talking about walking in the Word of God, walking in it as a lifestyle, okay? So we know it's the truth. We know it's the Word of God, the same thing. But it has all sustaining power in it. And I'll show you this scripture here. It's interesting here. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 3, it says, God who at sundry, that means different times and different divers manners, spake in the times past by the fathers, by the prophets. Verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Did you know that Jesus is the one that created the worlds? Well, I thought God spoke. Well, guess who was there when that happened? Jesus in his pre-incarnate state. When God said, let there be light, that was Jesus. Amen? In Genesis, when you see the creation, because Colossians says that he created all things were made by him, by Jesus. Okay? Now, look at verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, and hath by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now notice it says that he upholds all things by the word of his power. Now let me read the Amplified of verse 3. You can bring that up in verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 1. It says, he is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being and outraying and radiance of the divine. And he is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature. Notice this, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. When he had offered himself and accomplished our cleansing of our sins and riddance of guilt, he sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. So I want you to notice right here that he is upholding all things by his word. So we only know what we see.
Yeah.
But you look out and you see the stars and the planets and the solar system, what we can see with these natural eyes. We know that we've got the, what's the name of that telescope? The Hubble. And I mean, that thing can see things that the human eye can't see, and they send images back, you know. But you see how vast and how large and how enormous this universe is. Who made that? Who made it? Jesus made that, right? He created that. All right? But notice it says that he upholds that all thing by the word of his power. So all the power is in his word. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Now the reason I'm saying that is this, is because the word has the word of God in your mouth is able to uphold you and hold you together. So for example, we're living in a day where everything looks, there's a lot of uncertainty in the air. We live in the day of the media. Okay, where constant information is coming to us about the media around the world within seconds. Okay, the things that are happening, the stuff that's going over in the Middle East right now with ISIS and the different things, a lot of this instability that's going on. But see, we don't need to get caught up in that. What we need to do is get caught up in the fact that God has all sustaining power. He's able to keep us, preserve us from harm, from danger, from evil. He's able to do that. How does he do that? For those that will cling to his word, and those that will lean on his word, speak his word, those are the people that God's going to protect in the last days. Isn't that good news? Yes. Psalmist says in Psalm 91, he said, 1,000 can fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Amen? So that's what needs to be in our mouth. You see, Jesus is upholding all things, listen to me, by the word of his mouth. The planets and solar systems, they're out there hanging in midair, but they're not hanging there on nothing. They're hanging there because God spoke them that way. They're being sustained. This earth is being sustained. You think about how the earth rotates on its axis. Now, I'm not a scientist, but that stuff just fascinates me because of the perfection. They tell us that if the earth was about 1 inch closer to the moon, we would all be flooded. There's preciseness. There's exactness in this universe. It's no mistake whatsoever. Okay? I mean, I could go on and on and on and on about the light and how the distance of the sun and all this kind of stuff to make a perfect environment. Well, guess who did that? Our Father did that for us. Jesus did that for us. And the stuff that he spoke thousands of years ago is still being upheld by the word of his power. So that word has sustaining force in it. It doesn't wane after so long. Just like a battery, you know, we have these wireless mics, you know. Every so often we have to change the battery because when we speak, it drains the battery. Eventually they become trash. You have to take them out and throw them away and get a new battery. Well, God's power is not like that. It doesn't wane after thousands of years and say, well, it's time for a new battery. Amen? It never fails. It never changes. The word of God has all sustaining power on the inside of it. I've seen it heal my body. I've seen it touch my family. I've seen it touch other people. Amen? And a lot of you in here are part of that. Amen? But he says that he upholds all things by the word of his power. Now, in conclusion today, we saw that about this living by the word, we are to live by the word, and the word of God is truth. We just saw that the word has all sustaining power in it. And now finally, I want to conclude with this today. Go over to Psalms 119. In Psalms 119, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 30, 130, it says, the entrance of thy word giveth light and giveth understanding unto the simple. Now notice that phrase in the first part of 130. It says, the entrance of his word gives what?
Light.
What's it give?
Light.
Okay. So here's something else that we want to talk about. We'll get more into this next week. But the entrance of God's word brings light. Now go back to same chapter, 119, but go back to verse 105. And I want you to see this. This is Psalm 119, verse 105. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You see that? "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light." That's Psalm 119, verse 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." 130 says, "The entrance of His word gives light." So let's just talk about this in conclusion today. The Word of God is spiritual light. We know what physical light is. When we came in this room, we turned these lights on, you know, and it radiates light. That's physical light, okay? But that's physical. We get that. We understand that. But the Word of God is also spiritual light, okay? Have you ever been reading a scripture, for example, and all of a sudden you're like, "Oh, I get that. I understand that. I didn't understand that scripture." Anybody ever had that happen to you before? You're like, "Oh, okay, that makes sense now." Maybe you're just meditating yourself, or you hear a sermon or something like that. All of a sudden, light comes, and you're like, you're enlightened. Does that mean the light switch turned on? No. A spiritual light switch turned on. You're like, "Oh, I get that now." Okay? Well, the Word of God inside of your life, as we're speaking this morning, for example, when you're sharing Scripture, last week, Brother Todd was sharing Scripture about, you know, how to recognize the voice of God. All right? As those Scriptures are being shared like that, what happens? Spiritual light goes out and illuminates your thinking. Okay? Praise God. Do you have time for one more Scripture? Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. I don't have it in my notes here, but if you could bring up 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 4, and I want to show you how that the gospel is called the light of the glorious gospel. Now, before we read this scripture, have you ever wondered why sometimes that if you go to share the Word of God with certain people, they reject it? Has anybody ever had that experience before? You're just trying to encourage somebody with the scriptures, and they'll say, don't give me that scripture. I don't believe that stuff. Have you ever had somebody do that? Now, why does that happen? Why does that happen? This scripture answers that right here. It says, "In whom the God," now notice it's a small g, that means the God of this world, "in whom the God of this world," that's Satan, "hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the," notice this, "the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them." Go to verse 19, if you would. "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." But notice in that previous verse that the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of those that believe not. Okay? "Lest the glorious, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into them." That's how they're set free. Okay? And so, how do you deal with stuff like that? Have you ever, you know, I remember way back in the day when I tried to share the scriptures, even with my own family. My sister and I, we got born again before my parents did, okay? And I initially, when we tried to share the gospel with them, it did not go over very well. It was like World War III just erupted in our household. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you. And we had religion growing up, but we didn't have Christianity. We weren't born again. So without going into great detail, I mean, it was so frustrating for me to try to communicate that was something that was so dear to me. See, salvation was so real to me. I was 16 when I received Christ at a youth camp. And it was like, scales were just lifted off my eyes, and I saw this. This is the truth. I felt liberated inside, you know. Mm-hmm. And up to that point, I had no interest whatsoever in the things of God. I mean, it was boring to me. You understand? that when somebody shared the gospel with me and I received Christ that day, it changed my life. My sister, the same way. And to this day, we're both, her and her husband pastor in West Virginia, and we're both called to the ministry, you know. But it was going back upstream where it all started. It was really, really tough, because I remember sharing one time I was helping my mother do the dishes. I was just a teenager, you know. And we had different chores that we were responsible for, you know, and my sister and I shared that, and I tried to push it on her as much as I could, you know. Anyway, it was my day to help my mother wash. She washed it. I dried the dishes, okay? So I'm thinking, this is the greatest opportunity for me to share with her. And I'm just ready, you know. So I started talking about the gospel, you know, and I noticed the atmosphere got real heavy. And as I'm sharing with her, you know, I didn't use a lot of wisdom back in those days. It was off the cuff, you know, you say some things. And I basically told her that if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. And we know that's the truth, right? That's the truth. So I'd make no apologies for it. But she got highly offended at that point. We laugh about it now, but she got highly offended at that while we're doing the dishes. And she goes, "You mean to tell me that I raised you the wrong way?" And I wasn't trying to say you raised me the wrong way. I was just enlightened, and I was trying to share that with her. Well, my dad was in his workshop downstairs. The door was open. Dad's in heaven with Jesus now, but, you know, he came storming up the steps. You know, they were younger back then. He ran up the steps, you know. And we had a screaming, shouting match right there. So they were mad at me. I was upset. I left the house crying. It was just a mess, you know. And I thought, man, I'm just trying to share the good news. And, well, to make a long story short, I didn't know any better. I was just sharing what I knew at the time, you know. But see, I didn't realize that Satan had blinded their eyes. I didn't know that. It wasn't until a few years later, I got into a church and I began to see scriptures like that, that Satan's blinded their minds. But here's the good news, that we can take authority over those blinding spirits that are hindering them from getting born again. And I'm telling you what, I got a hold of Brother Kenneth E. Hagin's book called The Authority of the Believer, and it changed my life. It changed my friend that I got saved, you know, it changed my life. We begin to realize, hey, we got authority over this stuff. Let's start to exercise this. I mean, we took it seriously. So I remember one day, we pulled up in my 1976 blue Monte Carlo that had a front end as long as this room. And we pulled up, it was midnight on a Friday night, we pulled up in front of my house. My friend and I, we had gone out for the night and came back, and they said, we're gonna start exercising and praying for our authority and praying for our family. So we're out there in my car at midnight after, you know, the lights are out, my parents are in bed, and we're out there in the driveway. Nobody could hear us except God. And we began to take authority over the blinding spirits, the darkness that was hindering my mom and my dad from being saved. We broke the power of the devil over them. Amen? Drove down to his house. Did the same thing to his family. He had a bigger family. Okay? Well, just a few short weeks later, my mom and dad went to some type of retreat. Something with his work was related to work. And he was on the police force at that time, worked for the city of Pittsburgh. They went to a retreat, and there was a speaker there that was born again. He shared the gospel, and they got saved in this meeting. Okay? This was like a policeman's retreat, all right? So, anyway, I'm sitting there in the living room. They were gone for a couple of days, and they came into the house, opened the door. I'd been there, you know, by myself with my sister for a couple of days, and they walked in, and they had this big grin on their face. All right? I thought, what's up? And my mother looked at me. She goes, "We know what you experienced," and they had tears in their eyes. I said, "Well, what's going on?" And they told me what happened. That they were transformed. I'm telling you, they were totally transformed. And I mean, my father had just changed like that. It was just amazing to see the changes. Okay? And I mean to tell you, he drank every single day. He used to drink every single day. Okay? heavy. And all that stuff fell off. Not overnight, but it fell off.
Amen.
He quit going to the bars. He quit partying. Amen. And all of a sudden, after work, he's home at night. Amen. Instead of 2 hours at the bar every night. Amen. How many of a real man will spend time with his family instead of hitting the stupid bars? Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. You're not a real man because you have a beer in your hand. Are you kidding me? Are you with me now? Hello. Now, I'm not knocking people if you drink, okay? The Lord will help you. Amen. But you know what? You don't need a beer or a shot to have a good time. You don't need a joint to have a good time. Are you with me now? You got Jesus. You got everything you need. He's called the Most High.
Yeah, that's right.
There is no high like the Most High. And you don't have some hangover in the middle of the night. You wake up and you feel like, oh, God, I feel like I've been stepped on by 100 people. You can be free from that stuff. Amen. But you see, I saw my family. I saw my mother change, transformed before my eyes. I saw my dad transformed. And that word, the entrance of his word gives light. I talk about it, I just get chills up my spine. I'm not like that type of person anyway. But it's just, I think about the transforming power of the word of God. My friend as well, we did the same thing and took authority over the darkness and the blindness over his family. And one by one, they started coming into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And it had nothing to do with us. There's other people. See, the good thing is God knows who your family will listen to. Let me just say this. Don't beat yourself up trying to be the evangelist to your family. Don't think that you're the only person that God can use to minister to your family. Because a lot of times, let's be honest, with family members, they have to admit that they're wrong and you're right. For them to change, and they don't. Pride doesn't want to do that sometimes. Okay? But listen, God understands who they'll listen to. He does. He understood who my father and my mother would listen to when they wouldn't hear us. God understood that. But see, our job in that was to take authority. It only took a couple of minutes. We just said, Satan, this is in essence how we pray. We take authority over the blindness, those spirits that are blind in my mother, my father. We break its power over them in Jesus' name right now. And Lord, we ask you to send laborers across their path. Remember that? Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. See, you can pray that and God will send laborers. And I've seen this happen over and over and over with other people through the years. People would come to me almost in tears saying, what do I do? My brother's going to hell just as fast as anything. He doesn't want to hear anything about the gospel. Okay? He'll cuss me out every time I mention Jesus. Well, there's something we can do about that. See, what's doing that blinding spirits, those evil spirits that are blinding their eyes, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. But once you get rid of that spirit, and you get rid of that black cloud, it's spiritual, then they can see like, oh, I need this. I want this.
Amen.
Nobody will get in a car and go 120 miles down the road with a cliff at the end of the road saying, danger, and just avoid that and go right through the sign and go off a cliff like the Grand Canyon to their death. Nobody in their right mind would do that. Are you with me now? Why would someone do that if they're not in the right mind? Okay?
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to share this with you today because the Word of God is light. The Word of God is light and life. And the Word of the Lord will produce this spiritual light in your life. Praise God. We're going to pick this up again next week. And we're going to talk about some of the other things that the Word of God... We're talking about living by the Word of God. And this Word of God is just something. It's so powerful. You know, a laser beam, for example, is nothing more than concentrated light. And I mean, today they can do surgery with laser. It's a powerful thing. It's light, okay? And when you start shining the light on dark areas of your life, there is no darkness that can overcome the light. I'll close with this. I was up in the Adirondack Mountains when I was a kid. And I was involved in a group called Young Life. Anybody heard of Young Life before? It was a high school group. And, well, my sister got involved with it, and then she invited me to come, and we just loved it, you know. So we went to this camp called Lake Saranac. It was up in Saranac Lake, up in upstate New York. Anybody ever heard of that before? Beautiful. I mean, beautiful area up there. And I had never been up in that part of the country before, and I was just 19 years old. But it was so dark up there. We were sitting on this lake in the middle of the night, and there was so much darkness. It was just thick. And all of a sudden, I saw, like, maybe a mile across the lake, somebody had lit a little candle. It looked to me like the size of a candle. And I thought, all that darkness that was there couldn't put out that little tiny light that was way a mile across the lake. That little tiny little light right over there. And then you have all this darkness surrounded, and it wasn't strong enough to put out that one little light. See, darkness is nothing more than the absence of light. When you turn the light on, darkness flees. Jesus said, "You're children of the light." Amen? He said, "You're the light of this world." We have spiritual light on the inside of us. And when you expose light to situations that are dark in your life, let's just say in your body, for example, you need healing in your body. You take scriptures on healing. You put them in your eyes, put them in your ears. You speak them out loud. What are you doing? You're taking light and applying it to a dark area, and it's exposing that thing. And what's going to be left standing is the Word of God, the light. Amen? So let's go ahead and close, and let's bow our head right now, and we're going to pray. Thank you so much, Lord. We love you so much. Thank you so much. I would like to give you the opportunity today to invite this person, Jesus Christ, into your heart, into your life. He is the lover of your soul, I'm telling you. He loves you so much. God loves you so much that He gave His only Son to die and go to hell just for you so that you wouldn't have to. See, we all have committed sin in our lives. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, every one of us. But when we make Jesus our Lord, just by saying yes to Jesus, all that darkness goes and the light comes in. Forgiveness, cleansing is for you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, "I want to make sure that I know Jesus as my Lord and my Savior, not just as a historical figure, but as a personal Savior, personal. Without anybody looking around, this is just between you and the Lord. Would you just slip your hand up real quick and I'll pray for you this morning? If that's you. Anybody here at all? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Now, I saw some hands go up, so I'm going to go ahead and pray, and I want to lead all of us together. I want you to say this with me. Dear Lord, I make a decision this day to turn from my past and to turn to you, to make you my Lord and my Savior. Come into my life this day, Lord. Forgive my sins. Cleanse me and wash me and purify me this day. I'm a child of God. I believe that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now let's just thank the Lord this morning. You're a child of God now. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.